Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, with laundry room designs meant to bring calm to everyday routines. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Late last week, the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives voted to pass a bill that includes the cancellation of nearly $1.1 billion in federal funds for public media, funds that Congress had previously approved for this year and next. The bill now goes to President Donald Trump, who's expected to sign the measure into law. Joining me in studio to discuss what this rollback in funding means for the St. Louis region, we have Vicki Boutwell, Vice President and Chief Planning Officer at 9PBS. Vicki, welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
And also with us is STLPR Interim General Manager Jess Luther. Jess, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Elaine.
Now, last April, former NPR Senior Business Editor Yuri Berliner wrote an op-ed article for the Free Press that accused NPR of bias against Trump, Republicans, and conservative viewpoints. That piece was followed by other critiques of PBS and NPR reporting and of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting overall. What has been your response so far to such accusations, Jess?
Thank you, Elaine. So I would say that accusations of bias are not new to us in public media. This is something that we've navigated throughout our many decades of service to our region and to our nation. But what's different, what's unique here is the volume and the ferocity of these bias claims. I have to tell you, though, I'm a lifelong Missourian, and I need a bit more than what I keep hearing over and over, which are, I don't know, Vicki and I were talking a bit before the show, and we consider them a bit tired. We'd invite people, those especially in our St. Louis listening area, who are thinking about the question of bias, and we invite them to listen, to watch, to read what we are doing.
Absolutely. And I think public media was, when it was built originally, it was built to serve all Americans, no matter what part of the country, no matter what their income level. And I know that we see that in our own membership and our own viewers, is that a third of our viewers identify as Republican, a third are Democrat, and a third are independent. So we know we're doing something right if everyone is watching us, and we appreciate that. And we know there's something for everyone.
So we're talking about money. It is quite a lot of money. So this clawback of funding to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Vicki, what are the immediate ramifications of losing this funding?
Well, it's serious, and it's serious on both the local and national level, because the Corporation for Public Broadcasting does things for the entire network of both radio and television stations, like music licensing rights, like infrastructure, things that, if stations had to do them on their own, which we will, is horribly inefficient. So we're going to have to be repeating work and things that CPB does for us for that $1.60 that each taxpayer pays, you know, per year for our services. I know for us, we've been planning for this, but for us, it represents 13% of our budget, or $1.8 million. So while we will be okay in the short term, we're starting to have to make difficult decisions. We just continued our print magazine, which we've been mailing to members for 65 years. So we're going to have to continue to make difficult decisions about, you know, can we air this program? Can we go out and do that story? Do we have that infrastructure in place?
Mm-hmm. Just for St. Louis Public Radio, what are these consequences that we're looking at?
Right, thanks. So similarly, STLPR has been aware of this possibility and has planned our FY26 budget accordingly. But we also recognize that nearly immediately, that $575,000 of that annual budget is gone. And so more than ever, we're relying on our community, on those folks who say, I wake up with you in the morning, or you keep me company on my way to work, to show up for STLPR and for 9PBS to say emphatically that public media is a public good for the St. Louis region. And so to emphasize Vicki's point, Yes, we will be here providing news and information with context. We'll provide entertainment. We'll continue to do so with that high level of integrity, that high level of truth that STLPR has always provided for more than 50 years. But we're going to do so under more difficult circumstances, and we believe unnecessarily difficult circumstances.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the point, is we so appreciate and are grateful for our viewers, our listeners, the people who support public media on both sides, and the donations and that kind of those donations that are coming in right now will help in the short term, but we have to look at long-term sustainability, and that's the really important thing and why federal funding is so critical.
Mm-hmm. Give us a sense of how large your service area is, Vicki.
I believe we cover 33 counties, and that's just with our broadcast signal. 26 of those counties are overwhelmingly rural, so we have a broad reach across both Missouri and Illinois, and then that's only expanded through cable and other services.
Mm-hmm. How is the rural relevant to what we're talking about? We're sitting in St. Louis, right, in
right.
the city. But what is the relationship between us and rural stations or outlets?
Right. Jess? Why does it matter to St. Louis, right? If you were hearing from Vicki and from myself that, yes, this is difficult, but we will make it through this year. It's important because, like many industries, public media relies on that interconnectivity of different stations, collaborations, to Vicki's earlier point, CPB resources. So federal funding for rural stations can account for up to 30-40% of their overall operating budget. And we know that these are areas with already existing news deserts, right? So that means that newspapers have been cut, that local television news service has been reduced because of increasing expenditures. And so public media fills those gaps unequivocally. And so that's what we stand to lose as a nation, is that idea that our neighbors, our community members in rural parts of Missouri and Illinois could go without the news and the safety information and the educational programming that they need to thrive.
Absolutely. And I think it's not just the news, it's the emergency backup system.
Absolutely.
That our signals provide, so that stations or that communities that don't have those other news resources, we are the backup to that. And our broadcast signals are ones that can make it through some of these storms that we're seeing on a regular basis, and we need to make sure that all of our neighbors are safe. And so those are the things, all of those behind the scenes infrastructure that we provide, that's going to hit the rural communities even harder.
Mm-hmm. There's the money part of what we're talking about, but there's also the meaning and memories. You know, people have been sharing about their relationships with public media online. A listener actually sent us email last week about being a proud product of the PBS Kid to NPR Adult Pipeline. Mm. And I heard actually from a taxi driver when I was going to Lambert Airport that he'd been listening to St. Louis Public Radio ever since he moved here from Ethiopia, and this is like 30 some years ago. So these are stories of impact. You know, outside your professional connection to public media, Vicki, what is a personal connection to it? How has public media affected your life?
Well, I'm definitely one of those PBS kids. I grew up in rural Indiana. Shout out to Elkhart. We had four channels, and one of them was PBS. My mom was an educator and taught preschool and taught fourth grade for years and years and years. So I was raised on Sesame Street. I vividly remember watching great performances with Mikhail Baryshnikov as a little girl when he danced the Nutcracker. And as a little girl who wanted to be a ballerina, I was like, this is it. But my mom used that content in her classrooms. She used Bill Nye when she was trying to convince her fourth graders to do science fair projects. And then when I moved to St. Louis almost 30 years ago, it welcomed me to my new hometown. You know, I watched Living St. Louis. I watched them fight it out on Donnybrook and like, okay, this is what this community is about. And now, you know, raising my own daughter, she has great memories of Arthur and Word Girl and Super Y. And now we watch Finding Your Roots and Ken Burns together. So it just, I... every time I see public media, I'm like, that's what's raised me. And so I am so very grateful to be working for 9PBS, to be able to give back to a network that helped raise me.
Mm-hmm. Just meaning, memory.
Meanings and memories. So I've had the pleasure of working at St. Louis Public Radio for 13 years, right? So if you'll indulge me, a slightly professional, mostly personal story. I've had the privilege of working at various levels of this organization, and therefore I've had different jobs throughout over the last decade plus. But one of my first responsibilities here at the station was to open our mail, right? So we get mail every day. Sometimes it's advertising, sometimes it's letters with feedback, and sometimes it is donations, right? So in the form of checks or even cash occasionally. So this letter that I opened contained a $100 check, which is generous. And it was a short note that said, my mother recently passed away. I'm going to try to get through this because after 13 years, it still affects me. But so my mother recently passed away. And when we lost my dad, her husband, some years ago, she turned to STLPR as a companion. And I believe that the audience member that was writing to us said it was like an antidote to loneliness for her. And she said, there isn't much that we have, but we wanted you to have this donation just to show that you were an important part of this woman's life, right? One of our neighbors. And so some years later, when work feels very worky, right, and we're in these sort of difficult times, I think, well, what we're doing matters. And it matters individually, and it matters to communities. And so that is what I think of when I think of impact, is that one letter and that one check. And we get numerous, right? You hear all the time.
I have to say thank you to all the people who have been sending us handwritten cards and letters and emails and phone calls with their support, and then stories like that saying, you know, I bleed PBS and I breathe NPR. And we are just so very grateful for all the support and people sharing those very personal memories with us. And it does get you through the days where things can be tough, but we know that we are in people's homes every day, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you wish people better understood about the work that is happening at St. Louis Public Radio and at 9PBS? We'll start with you, Vicki.
I think one of the things is, for us, 10% of our content is news. The rest is education, culture, our history, and what is happening in St. Louis. It is all very locally focused, and I think that's the important thing. It's really easy for a member of Congress to cherry pick a few headlines and read them out and say, you know, I don't agree with this. They're not looking at what's happening at the local level. I think the other thing it's really important for people to understand is one of the arguments that's been made is everyone has streaming services. You know, there's so much more choice out there. People can choose what they want. Why should we fund public media? Well, that assumes two things. One, that you have a strong enough broadband or Wi-Fi signal to stream video and audio. And two, that you can afford a streaming service. And those would not have been options for little Vicki from rural Indiana. So it's making sure that public media is available to all, no matter what, and it continues to be.
Mm-hmm. Jess?
Yes, I'll go quick. I'll say that the media is not a monolith. You have a lot of choices, to Vicki's point. And the great thing that St. Louis Public Radio has done for me on a personal level is to challenge my assumptions, to challenge my thinking with thoughtful news coverage, with true public service journalism. And that means that when we get up in the morning and head to work, our goal is to serve our neighbors and community members in the St. Louis region, in the Metro East, and in Quincy and Rolla. And so that is the misconception, is that somewhere there's this nebulous media force. But what it is your neighbors who've signed up for this job to share information and storytelling that matters to this region.
Mm-hmm. Jess Luther is STLPR's Interim General Manager, and Vicki Boutwell is Vice President and Chief Planning Officer at 9PBS. Vicki and Jess, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks so much, Elaine.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.